You are listening to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 69, oh my, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin and a proud member of the Comic Book Podcast Network. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks very much for listening to the show. All right, so I hope that you guys enjoyed having a little something different last episode, because this episode is also going to be something a little bit different, although not as much different as last time. Last time we covered What If number 10. This time we're going back to 1968, but the book that we're covering is not a Thor comic. Now, this book was published contemporaneously with the appearance of the Wrecker in The Mighty Thor that we've been covering for the last couple of episodes. But I've certainly found it very different in style and tone than what we've been seeing in those Lee Kirby episodes. And of course, you know, it features a character who is probably in the Marvel Universe the only character who is an even bigger drama queen than Thor himself. Now, of course, I'm referring to the Silver Surfer, and we're going to be covering the Silver Surfer number 4. And in a very weird way, the Silver Surfer and Thor are linked. They are two of the Marvel characters who kind of are lumped into the same general kind of category as Marvel's cosmic heroes. And there's a very kind of small elite group of characters that fit into that category. You have characters like the Watcher that we talked about last episode, you know, the host of What If, and we have the Silver Surfer, and we have Adam Warlock, and we have a number of other characters, villains like Thanos, who was the guy who appeared at the end of the Avengers. And, you know, a lot of these characters are sort of these kind of way out space characters, and Thor kind of fits in amongst that group. So we are going to find, as we go forward in time, of characters like the Silver Surfer. They do appear in Thor more often than perhaps the more earthy characters, like the Fantastic Four or Spider-Man, because they kind of operate on an entirely different scale. Now, I thought I might do a little capsule history, a little character profile here of the Silver Surfer. I imagine that most of you listening at least have an idea of who the character is, but I know that there's some people out there who listen more for the mythological aspects and not so much for the superheroics. So go ahead and do a little capsule review of the Silver Surfer anyway. So basically, the Silver Surfer is this alien cosmic character. He was the Herald of Galactus, who is this big nasty guy who ate planets. And the Silver Surfer, as his herald, was kind of almost tricked into being this guy's servant, and he would lead him to various planets to eat, blah, blah, blah. Eventually ran into the Fantastic Four when he led Galactus to the planet Earth. A struggle ensued, of course, and the Fantastic Four managed to drive Galactus away. With the betrayal of the Silver Surfer kind of being key to Galactus's defeat. As punishment for his betrayal, the Silver Surfer was trapped on Earth, and he remained trapped on Earth for a good many years, I want to say about 20 years in real time. And so the Silver Surfer became a kind of a mainstay of the Marvel Universe. And at first, he just kind of made sporadic appearances, mostly in the Fantastic Four. But he kind of captured the imagination of the reading public. And in 1968, he was given his own series. The series was written by Stan Lee, drawn by John Buscema, and it covered kind of a very different sort of thematic ground than the Fantastic Four or Thor, for that matter, and really sort of cemented in my mind the idea of the Silver Surfer as a big old whiner. And I'm sure that a lot of people will probably agree, especially after this story. Now, as a character, the Silver Surfer is still around. He's had a number of different series at Marvel, none of which have lasted really all that long. I think that the most successful one lasted for about 75, 80 issues, something like that. But most of them have tended to last about, you know, 15, 20 issues. They really haven't been the most popular books. And I think, again, it's difficult to have the Silver Surfer be a really compelling character if you don't have the right take on him. You know, you have to have just the right thing. Otherwise, he just kind of falls into corniness. Now, of course, he was also a feature character in Fantastic Four 2, the motion picture, which was subtitled The Rise of the Silver Surfer. And I thought that they did a decently good job of portraying this character there. The rest of the movie, well, not so good. And hopefully, maybe someday we'll see the Silver Surfer in motion pictures again. I would like to. I mean, I've always had kind of an interest in the character. At least I think he has a very striking design, and when he's written well, is a really interesting character, despite the fact that he spends a lot of time moaning. That's a sort of part of his personality, I suppose. Anyway, so let's move on to the Silver Surfer number 4 and our review. That, of course, being the theme from the Silver Surfer cartoon from the 90s. And let's go on to the comic book, shall we? And we start out with the cover. Now, this is a large comic. This was actually really a 48-page comic in an era when 22-page stories are the rule. And so we've got a double-sized story here. The Silver Surfer number 4 was published in February of 1968, retailed for 25 cents in an era where most comics cost 12. The cover is by John Buscema, inked by, looks like Joe Sinnott from this image, and has the Silver Surfer, and he's swooping down on his surfboard, streaking towards none other than our old friend, the mighty Thor. And he is standing on the Rainbow Bridge, heading into Asgard. And we open up to the splash page. We actually have an inside cover image in black and white, which is kind of interesting. Of the Silver Surfer fighting against none other than Loki. Interesting. And the name of the story, The Good, the Bad, and the Uncanny. We also have an advertisement for the backup feature, Tales of the Watcher. And we won't be talking about that on this show. Open up to the splash page, where we have the credits. The story was written by Stan Lee. John Buscema did the artwork. Sal Buscema did the inking. Artie Simek was the letterer. And we open up with Loki, and he is sitting on a kind of a throne, and he is leaning over. This is a kind of an iconic image of Loki, actually, of him with his weird sort of drinking horn, and he's spilling what looks like cum on his leg. I'm sorry, that's what it looks like. So that's what it is as far as I'm concerned. And we have the caption here. In far-off, enchanted Asgard, lost in his own sinister thoughts, sits Loki, god of evil, prince of conjurers. And when Loki broods, let all who live beware. And it looks like Loki is kind of bored, and he's sitting here moaning, and he throws a little temper tantrum. I can endure it no longer, and he throws his drinking horn at the wall and smashes it. So long as the Thunder God lives, the destiny of Loki can never be fulfilled. Thus mighty Thor must die. But too often hath Loki tried, and too often known failure. This time, another must serve in my stead. And he goes riding out of his castle on a big black stallion. I wonder if this is the black stallion that came to take Hurricane away. I doubt it, but anyway. He rides out of his castle, and one of his servants is there, and he says, Lackey, stand thee aside. Thy master speeds hence to the Cavern of Shadows. And the guy says, When Loki speaks, all others defer. And he rides off, and he rides to this big black cave, gets off his horse, and he thinks that here he will find what he is seeking, one who possesses enough power to rid him of Thor. And he goes in there, and there's like this pool of lava or goop or something. It's hot goop in this cave, and he says, I must have a potion. Such as only the power of darkness can brew. A potion to pierce the veil of time, to shatter the fabric of distance, to set free the mystic essence, the ethereal ego of Loki, god of evil. And he dips his hand into this goop, and Looks like he's sticking it up his nose in this picture. I don't know. He's putting it in his nose. It's like making a booger or something. I don't know. But anyway, his astral form comes floating out of his body in a kind of this ectoplasmy Kirby crackle sort of thing. And we see an image of Loki's head flying away through the cosmos. And he's saying, now, thus unfettered by space or time, I shall roam the endless cosmos until my quest be done. Now let the mightiest of all appear before me. And he sees the Hulk. And the Hulk is doing what the Hulk does, smashing rocks, because that's what the Hulk does. He says, I behold the Hulk. But though in brute strength he seems boundless, he is lacking in skill. He will not do. And he moves on and he sees Ben Grimm, also known as the Thing from the Fantastic Four, fighting against this big sort of Indian robot-looking thing. I believe that thing is called Toma Zuma from the Fantastic Four comic. Is, what of him know who is called the Thing? Grotesque though he be, still he is human, and surely no mortal may oppose the mighty Thor. And he goes floating around, and he eventually comes to Olympus, where he sees Hercules, and Hercules looks like he's just defeated this big old monster in front of Zeus and all that. It's funny, in this picture, Hercules is clean-shaven, which is a very different look for Hercules. And he goes, Hercules, the son of Zeus, would that thy might were mine to enlist, but not even Loki would brave the wrath of Olympus assembled. I must search elsewhere. And he goes floating off into space. He's like, but wait, what doth Loki now behold? What glistening object hurtles through yon sky? 'Tis a man form. But never before has Loki's eyes beheld his like. And it turns out to be our old friend the Silver Surfer. And he is flying into space and smashing up against this barrier. Now, what Galactus did when he exiled the Silver Surfer on Earth is that he created this barrier around the Earth that could block the Silver Surfer from leaving. But it only affects the Silver Surfer. So the Silver Surfer used to try to just kind of gather up all of his speed and ram up against this thing, trying to get away when he'd feel sorry for himself. And so he's doing that, and Loki is kind of gazing at him and says, again and again, as though by madness beset, he doth hurl himself against an unseen barrier. Though less than a godling, his power surpasseth that of a mortal. Hath Loki thus found him who shall slay the thunder god? I must know more. I must lay bare his past with a spell temporal. First, from whence did he obtain his powers? And so he kind of waves his hand, and we get a capsulized version of the Silver Surfer in basically three panels and show how Galactus had threatened his world, but this guy Norrin Rad, who became the Silver Surfer, gives himself up as Galactus' servant to spare his planet, and he leaves behind his girlfriend, who is one of the least appealing women in comics as far as I'm concerned, and he ends up having to ride off his little surfboard into space and leave her behind, and has been moaning about it ever since. And he sees the story of how the Silver Surfer betrayed his master and was trapped on Earth, blah, blah, blah. And then we see one of his early adventures in his own book of how the evil Mephisto, remember him from the Thor annual that we covered a few episodes ago, and he sought out the Surfer because he sought the purest soul he could find, and the Silver Surfer is really sort of a cosmic innocent. So that's kind of why the Mephisto wanted to corrupt him, but of course he failed. So anyway, he sees that Mephisto had tried to capture his soul but has failed. But he figures that he has a chance. He has a chance to succeed. So his astral form goes back to the Cave of Shadows and he goes back to his body. And he says, Loki doth know what now needs be done. Only by gross deception shall I win the prize. Only by crass deceit shall him who had been herald shall become sly Loki's tool. Oh my. And he goes riding off, and he's riding through this bubbly lava land, and there's this sort of green-winged dragon thing on top of these rocky spires, and very John Buscema-ish. And apparently he's riding off towards Asgard. And we change scenes here to Asgard, where we find the Warriors Three, who are involved in what looks like kind of a barroom brawl sort of deal. And so we have Fandral and Volstagg and Hogan. And apparently this guy has been making fun of Volstagg, and he got what was coming to him. Volstagg pushed him through a door, and Fandral's like, there again shall the likes of thee make sport of Rotund Volstagg. Dashing Fandral, thou shouldst not have aided me.
Nor thee, Grim Hogan, for truly the battle was mine alone.
Aid thee, Volstagg. 'Twas Fandral's sword and Hogan's mace that put yon knaves to rout. Thou didst no more than quickly hide. No mean feat for one of thy girth.
Forsooth, I did but fear to use mine awesome strength.
Let us away. His bragging doth assail my ears. And they go off, and Volstagg is waiting behind, and these guys who are making fun of him, I guess, are waking up, and Volstagg says,
"Whilst they depart, valiant Volstagg shall guard yon sleeping oafs."
And one of them says, "Blubberous one, we sleep no more."
Volstagg is like, "No, they're awake! Wait for me!" And he runs after
Fandral and Hogan.
And he says, "I trust not myself with a mere three foes. If I grow careless, think of the harm my great prowess might inflict."
And he goes waddling off after them. But before he can reach them, Hogan and Fandral, they run into Loki. And Fandral's like, "Odd's blood, who gallops past at such a pace?"
"'Tis Loki, steeped in the scent of new-planned evil."
"Warriors, watch thy words. The God of Thunder is not now here to help thee, and soon he shall be gone forever. At last hath Loki found the way to vanquish the mighty Thor, and naught that lives shall save him."
And during that time, Volstagg catches up to them and said,
"Fandral, why didst thou not heed me?"
"Quiet, quaking one. There is villainy afoot. The God of Thunder must be warned."
"Then let us away. What chance hath Thor if Volstagg be not near?"
And they run into Thor's house, apparently, and Thor's sitting there, and Sif is there with him. Good thing they didn't catch him in a compromising position, I suppose. And Volstagg's like,
"Take heed, son of Odin. Loki hath threatened to destroy thee."
And Thor's like, "Of course, this is news." But anyway, he wants to hear what they have to say. And Fandral says it's true that Loki has promised his death. And Hogan is basically saying, you know, he won't succeed as long as all of Thor's friends are with him. And Sif's like,
"Beware, my lord. Loki's way is stealth and guile. He would not warn thee, lest he feel he cannot fail."
And Hogan agrees with that, and he says,
"The stunning Sif speaks true. To arms, my prince. We must prepare."
And Thor is a little bit insulted by this. Says,
"Shall Thor now tremble at Loki's threat? I say thee nay."
And Volstagg is like, "So speaks valiant Volstagg." And Thor's like, "The time for speech is past. If war be Loki's aim, then war shall Loki have." And we see Loki staring through. For once, it's not a cosmic voyeur scope. It actually looks like he's watching them through a window. And he's thinking to himself,
"How pathetically predictable is my doomed stepbrother. He reacts as Loki planned."
And, you know, Loki's flunky is there.
"But master, a foe forewarned is a foe forearmed." "Be silent, fool. What canst thou know of Loki's cunning plan?"
Are you sure his name isn't Baldric?
"The scene is set. Now let the play begin. But first I go to find the Silver Surfer."
And we then shift scenes to, looks like Africa, because we have an elephant and a rhino and a lion and a hippo and a water buffalo, just kind of all in one scene here. And the Silver Surfers are there with him. Oh, there's a crocodile there too. And this elephant looks like it's about ready to mount this rhino, if you know what I mean. But anyway, the Silver Surfer is sitting on a like fallen tree, and he's making friends with all these animals. And he says,
"Among the mightiest, the most supposedly savage of all earth's creatures, I sit in peace. I dwell in safety. For food has been plentiful, and no longer do they hunger. Unlike the humans who call you beasts," he's talking to the lion, "there is no violence in your heart, no hint of avarice, no smoldering hate. Yet man, who has won dominion over all this world, is a stranger to peace, a prisoner caught in the web of his own nameless fears."
And, so that's basically what he's about. And there he's feeling sorry for himself. "And here stand I, hopelessly trapped in a world of madness. Oh, the pain, the pain. Where reason is shunned while violence prevails. But no longer shall the Silver Surfer be a part of man's insanity. Let humanity do what it will. As for me, I shall dwell amongst the beasts." And he goes wandering off into the jungle.
apparently to live among the beasts. And there's a monkey there and a big old snake. And he hears a voice,
Silver Surfer, I found thee at last.
And he's like, who's calling me? And
let now thy head be bowed, thy heart filled with awe. Thou dost behold Loki, son of Odin, immortal of Asgard. Loki, whom faith decreed that thou shalt serve.
And Silver Surfer's like, serve you? The hell with that. And Loki's like,
fool, thy mouthings have no meaning against the will of Loki, for the power I hold is that of a god.
And he blasts him with a red magical burst. Knocks the Silver Surfer right down, right on his ass. And Loki's like,
now let thee rise. Thou must fight back, that I may gauge the extent of thy prowess.
And Silver Surfer's like, you are mad, Asgardian, as mad as any earthling.
Silence, lowly one. Dost thou not know that Loki can slay thee with a gesture?
And Silver Surfer's like, so do it and be done. Of what else is a life in a world without reason? And he kind of is laying on his surfboard, flying away in this weird zigzag pattern. And Loki is thinking to himself,
one point have I proven. He hath no fear of mortal death. But still must I test this battle skill. I say thee, halt, he yells. Thou canst not escape by fleeing in thy mystic board. Though thou hast no taste for battle, the will of Loki must be served.
And he's taken off into the sky in his surfboard. And Loki uses his magical spell to knock him down. And he falls into the river. It looks like a river. And a surfboard in there, too. He is falling and he can't reach his board. And so Loki rationalizes that the surfboard actually is where he gets his power and not in the Silver Surfer. And I think he's wrong about that. But anyway, let's just go with it because that's how the story reads. And he's like,
so, 'tis the board that hath the power, not the Silver Surfer. Wrongly have I chosen. Thou art not the one to serve me. Thus I go to find another. Amongst the humans shall I seek. And if I find one not, then all mankind shall pay the price. And he goes flying off.
And Silver Surfer's like, no, it must not be. Power such as his can decimate a planet. And Loki goes flying away, and the Surfer's following him now. And he's like,
ha, 'tis as I thought. The Surfer follows, and yet cunning Loki shall yet win the day.
And he goes to some city or another. We'll assume it's New York City, because that's where most things happen in the Marvel Universe.
Says, one such as he will not do battle without cause. Thus shall Loki give him cause.
And he starts smashing buildings with his magic, and Silver Surfer's like, the Asgardian shatters a building with the merest touch. He must be stopped, but none can I can do it. And he's flying around in the surfboard, grabbing these people from falling to their deaths. And he goes, enough! You shall not harm these hapless humans. If there must be battle, let it be with me.
And Loki's like, never! In the eyes of Loki, thou art unworthy. Now, space wanderer, let thee be gone. Whilst my rage doth rage, a city must perish.
And starts shooting out magical bolts. And Silver Surfer is finally like, never, my cosmic power will give you pause. And he starts fighting Loki with his magical bolts, or his cosmic bolts. And Loki's like,
then you do choose to fight on Loki's terms.
And Surfer's like, the terms are mine, only the blame is yours. And Loki's thinking he strikes with skill and bludgeoning strength, but no match is he for Thor.
Still further I must goad him, still more must I observe.
And Silver Surfer's blasting Loki into a chimney, which is, you know, crumbling. It's sort of it's amazing that there's any chimneys left in New York City, because, you know, Spider-Man destroys them, Thor destroys them. Anyway. So there's people standing out in the street looking up, and it's like the police officer's like,
it's the Surfer again. He and some other nutter trying to wreck the city.
And people are like, call the militia!
Send for the National Guard!
Why doesn't somebody stop them?
Finally, Loki grabs the Surfer's ankles, and
Loki's now for the final test. I must learn if thou hast the power to withstand the awesome attack of a god.
And smacks him with his fist, and knocks the Surfer down, and Surfer's laying there. He says,
bah! With one blow I have felled thee! And let thy silver skin protecteth thee. In truth, thou art unhurt.
And Surfer's like, no single blow can harm one who rides the meteor swarm. One who has basked in the glow of a thousand suns. And Loki's like, thou dost claim a power to equal a god's, and now thou must prove it. And they go hand to hand, and they're fighting each other, and Silver Surfer's shooting out his power cosmic, and Loki's shooting out his magical bolts, and saying, know you that I be brother to the god of thunder, and in the veins of Loki, Odin's regal blood doth flow, which really isn't true, but, you know, Loki can lie.
If your limbs cannot stop me, neither will your empty boasts.
You dare make light of Loki's threats?
Surfer's like, one who fears nothing dares all. So, the Surfer's fighting against him hand to hand, and he's beginning to push Loki back and actually, you know, defeating him. And Loki's like, it cannot be. Thou art but mortal. Thou canst not match my godly force. And the Surfer's like, though I'm mortal born, my power is that of the endless cosmos.
And he gives a mighty effort, and he throws Loki back. And Loki's then, enough, enough, Loki hath found the one he seeks.
Now that thou hast passed thy test, 'tis time to speak the truth. Thy power is needed to safeguard fabled Asgard.
And Surfer's like, well, you know, what does Asgard have to do with me?
He says, if Asgard falls, then all the world is doomed, and only you can save it.
And Surfer's like, well, why me? And he's like, thou art a stranger. None would suspect thee. And the Surfer's like, I don't want to hear any of this. Doesn't matter. You can't get off Earth anyway. And Loki's like, but this power of Loki can set you free.
I know how Galactus hath trapped thee here, but no barrier can bar the way to Asgard.
And the Surfer's tempted now because, you know, he's trying to get away from Earth. And if he can get to Asgard, he might be able to kind of slip by and be out in space again. And so he decides to listen to Loki. And Loki starts spinning a tall tale here. And he's telling him a tall tale here about, for untold ages, the home of the gods hath been at peace. But now the very throne is threatened, and the Surfer's like, who would dare do that? And says,
only one doth have the power, only one doth have the will. Even as we speak, he doth gather an army about him with which to attack the Imperial Allfather.
And he shows him a mystical image of Thor, and we also see a bunch of other Asgardian warriors, and says,
there is the one of whom I speak, my wretched brother, the thunder god Thor. Should he prevail, then all who live are doomed.
Doomed.
Thou hast heard my tale. Thou hast seen his legions girding for war. How say thee, Silver Surfer?
And apparently the Silver Surfer's never heard of Thor, doesn't know that he's a superhero. And he starts to whine again. He says,
amongst the humans, my life is little worth. If you can send me, I will go to Asgard.
Loki's like, I knew it. The sight of Thor marshalling his armies did truly deceive him.
He could not suspect my accursed brother doth but prepare a defense against Loki himself.
And Silver Surfer's continuing to whine.
If I succeed in my mission, will I again be free to go back to Earth?
Oh, sorry, no. He doesn't want to go to Earth. He wants to go into space. So,
will I be free again to roam the spaceways, to return to the one I love?
And Loki says, thou hast the word of Loki. Now upon thy board, the great adventure doth loom ahead. We go to a place that is all place, further than the stars, yet nearer than thy touch.
And transports the Silver Surfer to Asgard, and they're riding above the Rainbow Bridge on his surfboard. Loki's kind of standing behind the Silver Surfer, and the Surfer's like, you've done it! You've breached Galactus's barrier!
And Loki's like, no barrier made by living beings can withstand against a god. But I can accompany thee no further. Go thou alone, and none shall suspect.
And the Surfer's like, suspect what?
And he's like, well, that thy mission is to vanquish Thor. And now, farewell.
And Loki vanishes, and at that point the Surfer is challenged by none other than Heimdall, the guardian of the Rainbow Bridge. And he's like, intruder, halt! Identify thyself to Heimdall, for I be guardian of the Golden Gates Bridge in San Francisco. And the Surfer's like, I am the Silver Surfer. I seek the mighty Thor. And Heimdall's like, thou art alone and weaponless. Surely the God of Thunder hath naught to fear from such as thee. Stranger, I give thee leave to pass. And
lets the Silver Surfer go to Asgard, which seems to be really foolish to me, but nobody ever said that Heimdall had the best son. If he didn't go to Asgard, we really wouldn't have much of a story, would we? All right, so he's thinking, Silver Surfer's thinking to himself, and so the quest begins, I against a god. And we then cut back to the evil Loki's lair, and we see, much like we did at the beginning of the issue, Loki's sitting here on his throne, kind of lounging around, and one of his servants is there with him, and he is asking for a status report, as it were. Says,
how fares my unsuspecting cat's paw?
He hath reached the heart of Asgard, master. Thy plan so far is truly faultless.
Be silent, thou. I need no praise from fawning servitor. I must scheme and plan as never before. Him who is called the Surfer is possessed of power cosmic, power greater than even he doth know. It must be used as Loki doth direct, used to crush the Thunder God.
Surfer, in the meantime, has reached the gates of, I guess, Thor's house, or Odin's palace, or somewhere. Anyway, he's in Asgard, and there's guards there, and he goes to the guard. He says, I
seek audience with the son of Odin. If thou meanest Thor, he dines within.
And, you know, basically he says, okay, go on in. And the guy at the doors yells out to the assembled crowd,
Immortals of Asgard, I crave thy heed. A stranger hath come who seeketh to join thee. He would fain bask in the presence of mighty Thor. How say thee, noble lords?
And Thor's thinking, says out. And Thor says, we see, yeah, like a big banqueting table, and Thor's there, and we see Volstagg, and it looks like Baldur. Oh, there's Hogan. I don't see Fandral, but he's probably off seducing some woman somewhere. And Thor's like, a stranger in Asgard? 'Tis most passing rare. I say thee, admit him. And the guard says, he doth claim the name of Silver Surfer. His words, saith he, are for Thor alone.
And Thor says, this guy looks kind of gloomy and troubled. And Thor's like, then bid him enter. Since we be host, he be our guest.
And we see Sif is sitting there next to him now. And the Surfer confronts Thor and says,
you are not host and I am not guest. Instead, I am come as your accuser. I've come to challenge the mighty Thor.
And Thor's like, God's blood, the madness is upon thee.
Refuse me, and the world shall call you coward.
And Fandral and Hogan are not hearing any of that, and Fandral's like, a pox upon him. None speak so to Thor whilst Fandral live, and he goes jumping over the table with his sword drawn, and Hogan is doing the same with his mace drawn. It says, so saith Hogan. And Volstagg does the same, except he's too fat, and he trips and falls and spills all of the food, and he's, you know, comedy relief. And
Volstagg too now leapeth into the fray with the speed of the winter wind, and he crashes down the floor. Nay, why leap when I can trick my foe with the sly pretense of stumbling?
And Fandral's like, pretense, thou clumsy oaf? Over an anthill couldst thou not leap. And so Hogan and Fandral are confronting the Surfer and saying, you know, hey, you know, you threaten Thor, you're threatening us, bubby. And and they say, you know, Baldur's going to join us here any minute, too, and we're going to give you the what for. And Thor's like, be silent, all.
Is Thor not fit to face his foe? Forgive us, noble prince. 'Twas love alone did spur our words. Then let the love of justice hold thee back. Hast thou forgot? He is but one, whilst we are many. Never hath Thor challenge refused. But there be a time, there be a place. First, let us sup, whilst I lend ear to thy complaint.
And the two of them are sitting there, and they're drinking, and it looks like Surfer's eating some food, and he's wondering now, you know, is Thor really evil or not? He doesn't really get why Thor's being nice to him, I guess. And he says, thinking to himself, how can such a man be truly evil? How do I explain the love they have for him? And yet I have pledged my word to Loki.
And Thor's suspicious of him, too. He's thinking, there's more to this man than meets the eye. Patience, soon will all be clear.
And apparently there's a tournament going on, and jousting, and we have this generic group of warriors standing before Thor, getting ready to fight amongst themselves. And we have drums drumming, thum thum, and trumpets blowing, or whatever trumpets say. And Thor standing above as the host, and he says, to the victor shall go the shining saber, second only to Fandral's flashing blade. And it's some sort of a weapon he's giving away as a prize. And
And he's distracted here, says, 'Tis no mere trophy upon which my mind doth dwell. 'Tis the troubled stranger within our midst. And Loki is thinking that the time is ripe. Again must I assume my astral form to ensure the downfall of the God of Thunder. And he goes all ghosty and sends his ghosty head into the palace of Thor. And you see the games going on, the jousting and people wrestling and stuff. Loki's thinking to himself, battle on, you witless pawns, but when ye cease, the battle true begins. He's alarmed by the fact that Baldur has arrived. He says, Baldur hath arrived so soon? But fie upon it! 'Tis of little consequence. With dark suspicions must I fill my agent's mind. And Baldur is coming up behind the surfer, and he says, a stranger dines in Baldur's place. But no matter, I do content myself to stand. And the surfer is detecting evil in the air, and he thinking to himself how he's going to strike, how can he attack, yeah, because he really doesn't have any reason to attack yet. And we see that he's watching the tournament, and there's a guy here who looks exactly like Conan the Barbarian. So they're fighting and wrestling, and this guy defeats his opponent. The guy looks like Conan, and thine knee hath touched the ground. The prize is mine. And the other guy's saying, I am undone. Thor is giving the prize to the guy. He says, Gladiator, step thou forth. Hear from the hand of Thor the fruit of thy victory. And Thor detects that something's not quite right going on here. And grim foreboding now engulf me. What evil force is here at play? And the other guys who've been fighting are like, Asgard forever! The joust is ended. And Loki's astral form appears behind Conan here. And he's putting the suggestion in his mind. He says, wait, sheathe not thy sword. Loki now hath use for thee. Seize thou thy weapon. Now hurl it straight and true. Hurl it at the gleaming stranger. Then cry out. And the guy throws the sword, and he's under Loki's spell, and he cries out, death to the Silver Surfer in the name of Thor! And the sword blasts through the table and misses the surfer. But the surfer is pretty alarmed by this. I am attacked by order of the Thunder God. Then Loki's words were true. But no such deadly blade can outspeed one who dodges comets in their flight. And the surfer now is all accusatory. At last, the mask of deception has been stripped from your faces. You stand revealed as murderers all. And Baldur's like, nay. Never before has such a happenstance occurred. And Thor's like, Gladiator, what madness hath possessed thee? And Conan is like, most noble lord, I cannot say. 'Twas as though another didst usurp my will. And we have the evil Loki's spirit whispering into the Silver Surfer's ears as,
'Tis not the deed that angers Thor. 'Tis the fact that his assassin did fail to slay thee.
And the Surfer's buying this, and he's like, Asgardian, prepare to defend yourself. And Thor's like, I say thee hold. 'Twas not Thor's will to do thee harm. The Loki is casting a spell that the surfer can't hear. He says, a sudden pounding in my ears. I cannot hear your words. And he doesn't suspect that this is being caused by Loki. And the surfer says, it does not matter what you say. I saw what I did see, and I like not what I saw. And the surfer summons his surfboard to himself and knocks over a bunch of these Asgardian warriors. And he hops on his board, and he's flying around inside Thor's house, blasting all these gods with his cosmic bolts. And he's thinking to himself, they've proven by their deeds that the one called Loki spoke the truth. They are warlike, merciless, and deadly. They strike without warning, without remorse. And now I must do the same. And he's going around blasting everyone. He's like, people are shouting, look to thine arms, the stranger attacks. His board is enchanted. It doth serve him as both steed and weapon. But never was a steed so truly wondrous. And Thor is trying to stop the fight, and is like, stranger, stay thy flight. Thor has no wish to do thee harm. He doth ignore my words, my lord. So Thor is trying to stop the fight. He's trying to get the surfer to hear him. The stranger, stay thy flight. Thor hath no wish to do thee harm. And Sif is there. He says, he doth ignore thy words, my lord. And Loki said, the Thunder God doth plead in vain. Loki's spells drown out his voice. Now let the debacle begin. And somebody says, 'Tis useless. He girds once more for the attack. And Thor is like, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to fight this guy. He says, Frieza then shall not prevail.
No stranger is the Thunder God to the use of shattering force. Thou hast thy board, while I have Mjolnir. Mjolnir, the enchanted hammer, and he throws it and smashes the Silver Surfer out of the wall of his palace. And the hammer returns to Thor's hand, and then heads out after the Silver Surfer, see what's going on. And Surfer's like, Thunder God, surrender, or face the power cosmic of the Silver Surfer. And Thor's like, what wonderment is this? From his very fingertips blow bolts of living energy, which he would have known if he'd been watching the fight in the palace. But anyway, Surfer's flying around really fast, you're trying to avoid Thor. And he's thinking to himself, his hammer is far more formidable than I suspected. It draws my cosmic shock bolts into its own enchanted head. Oh my. Now this is episode 69 after all. Thinkest thou Thor would be defenseless? No wish have I to slay and misguided an adversary. No wish I have to slay so misguided an adversary. And yet how am I to smother the flame of fury in his soul? And Loki's gloating in his astral form.
A flame which thou soon shall be consumed, accursed one.
And then we have some Asgardian guard, and he's in this giant Kirby device cannon. And he's like,
interloper, halt, or be thou in thy tracks forever stilled.
He's going to fire this Asgardian ray gun cannon at the Surfer. And the Surfer's like,
you think a mere weapon can stop Zachary Smith? Oh, sorry. Can stop the Sky Rider of the Spaceways? Then think again, Asgardian.
And the Surfer blasts out with his power, smashes this thing to bits. Thor's going to see if the guard is all right. He says,
sentry, thou shouldst not have threatened him.
But he seeks to ravage the realm, my prince.
And Thor's like, take unto thyself a healing herb. Whilst Thor now makes his judgment.
And Surfer's thinking to himself, now he understands why Loki needed him. Because the Asgardians are really powerful and Thor is the strongest of them all. And then figures it's not really time to muse about it. He has to continue to fight. And Loki is hiding in his own castle, I guess. It doesn't seem to be an astral form now. He's laughing about this.
See the destruction. See the utter carnage. How it doth warm the royal heart of cunning Loki.
And his servant is like, tell me, master. How can yon stranger overcome Thor when even thou hast ever failed?
And
and Loki's like, fool, hast thou so soon forgot? Loki's power hath been merged with his, although he knows it not. Through mine own enchantment, he is stronger far than ever he could suspect. Thus he must surely win or perish.
And we have a scene shift here of a messenger. And the messenger is dressed in this really garish sort of armor. Is an orange helmet and purple chainmail and blue cape. And anyway, so he's running to deliver a message to none other than the Allfather.
Had to say, John B. Sebbett draws a real badass Odin. This guy looks nothing like Santa Claus, let me tell you. He is a warrior god through and through. I love it. I love it. I like the way he draws him.
And the messenger is like, Sire, I bear thee tidings most ominous. One who is known as the Silver Surfer hath challenged the God of Thunder. Even now he doth battle like a demon possessed. And Odin seems to know what's going on.
Says, 'Tis not in him who rides the board that the danger lies. Mine omnipotence hath gleaned the truth within. I say thee, let the battle rage. No harm can come in combat when both hearts be truly pure. Upon itself doth evil feed, and soon all will be made well. So saith Odin. Now attend me, for I grow weary. Make ready the bedchamber royal.
So Odin's like, doesn't matter, they're both good guys, I'm going to bed. So Odin is not only a badass, but he doesn't give a shit. He is the honey badger. And they're fighting. It looks like the Silver Surfer has made a big wreck of Thor's house, I have to say. And Thor's inside his house, it's all wrecked, and the Surfer's sailing in after him. And Thor's like,
Rider of the Silver Surfboard, know thou this, the patience of the Thunder God hath surely reached an ending.
Oh, speak to me not of patience. No patience has the Silver Surfer for those who can be conquerors.
What, thou callest me conqueror?
Do not pretend with me. I know you plan to overthrow your royal father.
And Thor's like, villain, none who speak thus to Thor.
Thou shalt not pit father against loyal son, and Mjolnir shall show thee why.
And hurls his hammer at the surfer, but the Silver Surfer, like, is pretty darn fast and manages to dodge it. Says, "Can a mere hammer outfly the Silver Surfer?" Thor is not quite believing he's so fast, and he's saying, "'Tis beyond belief. Methinks there is a mystic spell at work." And the Surfer has decided he has enough of this hammer coming after him, and he says, "No longer shall I be a target for your hammer. Not while I can keep it from you with a cosmic blast." And he tries to smash the hammer away from Thor, but Thor manages to hold on to it. And Thor's like, "Keep me from Mjolnir? I say thee nay. And more, I say thee never." And he kind of casts a... I don't know what he's doing here. He's defending himself, I guess. And the Surfer's like, "Never before have I felt so powerful, so strangely invincible. It's as though it's been decreed I cannot fail. Whatever the reason, I must attack again, even though I cannot bring myself to hate the Thunder God." And he blasts Thor, and Thor's like, "By Asgard's golden gates, none but a god can unleash such power." And Surfer is thinking, I feel as though another hand, not mine, now guides my blows. As though another will, not mine, is forcing me to fight, to hate. And Thor is being beat up pretty good by the Surfer's bolts. And really nice expressions here in the facial expressions of Thor being beat up. And this is just something that Buscema is really good at, is facial expression. And Thor is saying, "He attacks without let, with fury unmatched. Each time I raise enchanted Mjolnir, he doth strike and hurl it from mine anguished hand." And eventually he knocks Thor down, and Loki is sneering from a distance, "At last the Thunder God is down. Now no need have I for astral form. Since triumph is nigh, I would savor it in flesh and blood." And Thor's lying there in his stomach, kind of reaching for his hammer, and the Surfer's put like a cosmic shield around the hammer. "You reach in vain. My cosmic field shall keep you from your hammer." "It cannot be. No power cosmic may entrap mighty Mjolnir. I've seen his mallet's magic. It is truly mightier than my cosmic force. Then why should it stay out of reach? Unless," he's thinking, "Loki too has the power of a god. What if he has added to my strength? Thus, while we fought, the blows were mine, but the power his." And Thor's like, "Loki? What knowest thou of Loki?" And Surfer's like, "'Tis he who brought me here to save the realm." And Thor's like, "'Tis the master of evil thou dost serve." And the Surfer's like, "No, wait, I'm a good guy." And meanwhile, we see Baldur and Sif rushing to Thor's side, and Baldur is, trying to defend Thor from the Surfer. And Surfer notices, he's thinking, you know, they're racing to defend Thor and ignoring their own safety. And, you know, never could an evil person have such devoted friends. And so the Surfer knows something's up now. And he's like, "Warrior, come no further. There is no cause for us to battle, but we have much to speak of." And Baldur's pissed. He's like, "My blade alone shall serve as lips." And Thor's like, "Baldur, no, stop. Let him be heard." And Loki's not real happy now. He's it's like, "If they stop to speak, to give ear to reason, all is lost. Strike now, Baldur. Loki bids thee strike." And he's, casts a spell on Baldur to make him swoop at the Surfer. But the Surfer's too fast for him. And Baldur's like, "Scoundrel, come thee back. Baldur calls thee coward." And Surfer's like, "I've been lied to, man. And betrayed by the one who brought me here." The Surfer knows what's going on now. He's like, "I sense that I've been misled, betrayed by the one who brought me here. But right or wrong, one fact remains. No one calls me coward." And so he's continuing to fight back a little bit. And Sif is like, "Baldur, thou shouldst not have. Thor, what is amiss, beloved?" And apparently the cosmic bolt has come towards Sif, and Thor is blocking it. And Baldur says, "It's just a warning shot, Thor. The guy's not trying to hurt us." And Thor is really angry. He says, "I say thee this. Blazing anger doth fill my heart. With one blow I shall shatter yon cosmic field, for mighty Mjolnir must be mine." And he does. He actually smashes the cosmic field with his bare hands. This is awesome. And the Surfer's like, thinking to himself, "He possessed more strength than I should know, but did not choose to use it against me. He must have suspected from the beginning that I was merely duped. Such a one must never be my enemy. But if I have misjudged Thor, the fault is Loki's. Loki, who has deceived me." And so, Loki knows now his plan is done. Can't win now. And he's like, "My plan hath failed. The mortal perceives the truth. Loki is undone."
Yet with him gone, there be no proof against me. Thus back to Earth I send him. From my sight forever, let him be gone! And he waves his hands, and the surfer disappears in a big flash of lightning. And Thor's like, he hath vanished, like a fading spark. Then I sense the game hath ended. Still, his valor hath illumined the realm with a light that shall glow for ages. And we cut back to the surfer, and he's back trapped on Earth, and flying around again, and he's moaning again, because, like I said, Silver Surfer is the only Marvel character who's a bigger drama queen than Thor.
Oh, once more I am earthbound, trapped once again behind the barrier of Galactus. But never will my heart surrender, never shall my struggle cease. Some day, somehow, the time will come when the Silver Surfer shall be free.
And that, folks, is the Silver Surfer number 4. And we do have a backup story. It's the Watcher and the Monster story, which is really dumb. So I'm not going to cover that. So anyway, what to say about the Silver Surfer number 4? Despite the fact that this story is like 40 pages long, it is basically your standard Marvel team-up story. Two heroes haven't met each other, meet for the first time, they end up fighting each other, till eventually they realize that it's all been a misunderstanding, and they make goody-goody. It's a little bit less wrapped up neatly than most, and that's because Loki interferes and gets rid of the Surfer. And you get the idea that eventually these guys are going to meet again, and maybe eventually they'll hash it all out. And of course we know the Surfer does appear later in the Thor series, particularly in the 90s, and there's a lot more going on as far as crossovers with other cosmic characters. What can I say? You know, it's a fairly typical Stan Lee story. Now, one really interesting thing about this story is that you really see the difference between what Stan Lee writes like when he's with Jack Kirby and the way he writes when he's with another artist. And you can see, you know, obviously Kirby added a lot to these stories, but Kirby's style of dialogue is more short declarative sentences with lots of exclamation points. And this is more kind of waxing poetic. This is more what Stan Lee tended to do when he was working with other artists. So you can see Jack Kirby obviously had a really strong influence on the Thor issues that we've been covering. And this almost a completely different writing style here. You can still tell it's Stan. I mean, he's still, you know, with his alliteration and his, you know, his bombastic phrasing and that sort of thing. But, you know, basically, you know, decently well-written story, very well-drawn. I believe that this is the first time that John Buscema drew Thor. And, of course, John Buscema goes on to become the regular artist of Thor at some point and draws many, many issues of the Thor comic. So, yeah, this is really kind of his first time out. Like I said, the facial expressions are really something. I mean, he really does try to make everybody look recognizable, makes everybody have a different look. And that's something that's very different from Jack Kirby. I mean, you know, bless Kirby. I mean, he has a very unique and exciting style. Love his work. But his people tend to really kind of all look the same. And that's true of a lot of artists. And not true here of John Buscema. I think that really is turned out very, very well. So that's basically really about all I have to say about the story. You know, decent story, decent art. And, you know, a nice little break. And like I said, a very different feel from what's actually going on in the actual Thor comic, which we'll be returning to in an episode or two. We do have some other stuff planned anyway. So let's look at the ads really quick, because this happens, contains some interesting advertising. And as you know, I do enjoy looking at the advertising in these old comics, because it tells you something about the era that these were created in. And we have, for example, from Norton Products in New York City, you can draw any person in 1 minute with the Magic Art Reproducer. Yeah, it looks like a little mirror projector lamp thing, and you point it at something and it projects an image of it onto paper that you can trace over with your pencil. It's a complete for only $1.98. So what a bargain. And then we have a ad for, it's one of these novelty companies, Johnson Smith. You know, they do all these big page with a bunch of different stuff. You can buy German medals, like World War II German medals. The swastika's all over them. Very interesting. I don't know if they're reproductions or real. In this era, you never know. In this era, they might well have been real. And you get them for like $2 a piece. Secret microphone transmitter. You know, the micro transmitter. Midget spy camera, which is, you know, the size of your palm. I mean, you know, nowadays cameras can be made immensely smaller. You get a BB gun or a gasoline-burning ramjet. Yeah, these aren't things you can sell out of comic book now. Of course, X-ray specs. I mean, who can pass up X-ray specs? You get the trick pennies, and actually it's the John F. Kennedy Lincoln penny, where they like stamp a little John F. Kennedy face. Live seahorses. You can buy live seahorses for $1. That's awesome. We have Classics of the Silver Screen. It's a series of books of movies, or at least of summarizing the careers of different people, Charlie Chaplin, and looks like Bela Lugosi and Rudolph Valentino, Laurel and Hardy. That's the Classic Movie Library. Classics of the Silent Screen. Only $1. And we have the U.S. School of Music. And it's a piano. Learn the piano by mail. And it's not just the piano. You can learn piano, guitar, accordion. Yeah, that's fun. Pipe organ, electric organ, reed organ, steel guitar. You go, oh, that's awesome. I kind of like steel guitar. Tenor banjo. You can learn to play the banjo. I don't know if these are records or... I guess you're learning out of a book. So, I don't know. Anyway. and it says the teacher of these, Howard Clark of Boyne, Ohio, is one of the students here. For example, he now leads his own trio and plays at nightclubs. Leonard Drumheller Jr. of Charlottesville, Virginia, has performed on TV, radio, and before large audiences, as well as composed 3 musicals. I looked this guy up, and none of his musicals have ever been published, apparently. Anyway, so, yeah, that's the U.S. School of Music. Learn Your Music by Mail program. What else have we here? I'll make you a master of karate for 99 cents. Yeah. It's, again, learn karate out of a book. So that's really good. I got to wonder, has anybody actually learned karate out of a book? I doubt it. It's an 80,000 candle power, skin divers, underwater, beam light. It's basically a waterproof flashlight. $8.39, but if you buy 6, you can get it for $5.95 each. And it says it shines for a whole mile. That's interesting. And apparently this is recommended by fire and police departments because they have a picture of a fireman on it. And it actually runs on 6 D-cell batteries. So that's, pretty powerful flashlight there. Live pet seahorses for 90 cents. That's a better deal than the other end. Or you can get a darling pet monkey for $18.95. A live delivery guaranteed. I always have wondered what happens to kids who buy a pet monkey out of a comic book. I can only imagine that they must get into so much trouble. Hypno coin, be a magician. You get 1,001 things you can get for free. That was actually published by Bob Kane, the creator of Batman, incidentally. I think we talked about that in a past show. We have some Marvel House ads here. We get Marvel's inflatable pillows. You get Spider-Man or Thor for $1.50 a piece, plus 15 cents postage and handling. And Marvel superhero t-shirts. You get Captain Marvel, Spider-Man, the Mighty Thor, and the Incredible Hulk. And we have, finally, high school diploma at home. You can get a house or a car or a bank book filled with money by getting a high school diploma. And, of course, we have the ever-present Muscle Man ads. Inflamed eyes? Get prompt relief with LavOptic, the medicinal eye wash. Soothes granulated eyelids. Itching, irritation. Aids natural healing. Relied on by millions. For dependable eye comfort, insist upon genuine LavOptic.
If you wash with I cup included at your druggist, satisfaction or your money back. So apparently this stuff was available just at your local drugstore. Let's add for Christmas seals. English lessons. Ashamed to buy your English? Yeah, pretty much. Make your own motorized go-kart or speed bike. Be taller by 2 inches instantly. Yeah, it's the little lift things that you put in your shoes. Comic book ads, of course. Model rocketry. Play the guitar in 7 days or your money back. And finally, we have a grit ad. Boys 12 or older make $1 to $5 weekly in your spare time by selling grit. And you got this picture of this kid on here that looks like it was taken in the 30s. It's got this old-fashioned clothes that, you know, how the old men, like they buckle their belt like right by their nipples. This is what this kid is wearing. We have a Marvel House ad here on sale now. Not brand Ech number 12. And then we have another Muscle Man ad. And finally, the famous artist school. Norman Rockwell is looking for people who like to draw correspondence art courses. And just a way for famous artists such as Norman Rockwell, John Whitcomb, Al Parker. I thought Al Parker was a porn star. I'm pretty sure he is. Stephen DeJanos, George Julie, Peter Hellick, Fred Ludicama, Ben Stahl, Robert Fawcett, Austin Briggs, Harold von Schmidt, and Albert Dunn. The famous artists of the famous artist school. And pretty much the only one I've heard of is Norman Rockwell himself. All right. Oh, that's time to wrap it up. Thanks very much for listening once again. If you want to email the show, you can do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. Not that anybody ever does. Most people prefer to get a hold of us on Facebook, so please feel free to do that. We have a Facebook group. Just look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook and join the group if you want. I'd be happy to add you. All right, with that, I'm going to sign off for now. Thanks very much for listening. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard.